A long-stalled funding bill has finally passed through the House of Reps and the Senate this week. But what will the fresh injection of cash actually mean for Ukraine and Israel? Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is freelance journalist and author Sean Britton. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Patreon at US of Ed. As we were expecting when we spoke last week, Ed, over the weekend, the House of Reps finally passed the long-stalled bill containing $95 billion in funding for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. And as of this morning, that has advanced through the Senate as well. Ed, what's going on?
It just needs Joe's signature. And it comes at a really good time. In a sense, that was an admission of defeat by Trump. A good admission of defeat. He wants to keep Johnson in, and he got a little bit of a victory on this loan issue for $2 billion of the $50 or $60 billion that are going to Ukraine, which will never be repaid, as we know. Well, Trump knows that because he never repays any loans. But there's a begrudging respect here, both for the Democrats in the House and for the Democratic president. The president has not been kind to Israel. House members are saying, kind of, guys, we've had it with you. But we got to get both hands, feet, and our body back into the Ukraine. Because it looks like Putin has only one or two pushes left, and he's finished internally. He doesn't have any more soldiers, and he's run out of guns. So this could possibly be a double victory here for Joe Biden.
Just want to break this one down a little bit further. You know, as you point out there, the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has claimed the U.S. Funding gives Ukraine a fighting chance at victory in its fight against Russia ahead of an anticipated push in the coming months. It just how important is the $60 billion for Ukraine, and how are they currently sitting?
Well, let's put it this way. A fighting chance at victory, depending on how you describe victory. I think we're going to have, as we have said on this show over and over again, victory for the Russians in the East, a pyrrhic victory, and real victory for the West. And I mean the entire West here. I don't mean just the Ukraine, because the Western allies have come together in this one. And if they just hold Putin to where he is and his shambolic economy to where it is, this is a real victory without a third world war.
In regards to Gaza, as we say, the bill also contains $26 billion in aid for Israel and some relief for Gaza. Ed, we've spoken about the further talks, but there have been more bombings, and there's still the potential for a ground invasion of Rafah. We've seen more civilians on the Palestinian side killed, including children. And the US obviously bears some responsibility if they're going to continue funding. What's the latest, and what is the feeling now?
Now, this is going to sound funny to you, but you're not from Berkeley. Berkeley kids and kids all across the country are riled up now. This is good news for America. To get them off their arses and into something to fight for. The win or lose here is American fight for democracy, as we had in Vietnam. And we had a little bit in the Iraq War. I think these kids can get us out of war, period. Because they don't want the Palestinians hurt, but they don't want the Israelis hurt either. So I think we should listen to the underlying message here. Let's get the hell out of being warmongers. And let's make sure anyone who's a warmonger, including Israel, pays a big economic price. I think that's the next step. That's the one we should look for. What happens in the immediate term? Again, as we've said on this show, there's going to be a strategic retreat. It's going to look very much like the Berlin Wall did, with some international forces on a line, someplace in the peninsula. And I'd say the Golan Heights would be the place where a line will be drawn, and there'll be a lot of Israeli troops remaining in Palestine for a long time.
And again, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, is facing threats, as we sort of mentioned. He's facing threats from within his own party to either resign or be removed with the passing of this bill. Now, honestly, the working relationship that Johnson seems to have developed with Democrats is somewhat of a surprise to me, but it doesn't seem like there is a situation where you could have a workable relationship with the rest of the House and satisfy the hard right of the Republican Party. So what's the latest?
Well, there's a good news, bad news here. The good news is the Democrats are running the House, right? Johnson's not. And so they'll keep him in. The bad news is these crazies will act even crazier because they know there's nothing to lose. If Johnson were to be defeated in a House vote, that would be a big deal. That would be totally shambolic. But the demos will keep him in. I think they like doing the dance with him. It's a polka. It's not up close, but it's a nice dance.
And before we move on, this bill also includes a move to either ban or force the sale of the Chinese-run social media giant TikTok due to concerns around data security. The Chinese could access Americans' data and influence users through the app. Any thoughts on this one, Ed?
Well, I think Twitter's the most dangerous one. Twitter seems to be the real enemy here, certainly to Australia. Elon Musk reminds me of a person throughout history who thought they were smart in every field and eventually ruined themselves. Musk is headed for the big fall. He's doing things now that he can't get support for. Even the people on the right don't want to see blood in the streets or child pornography on any platform. So him yelling, kind of, I have a right to do what I want to do, is wrong, and he will pay a price for it. TikTok's going to be walk talk, some talk, under another name, under another false flag, and the kids will stay on.
Donald Trump's hush money trial continues in New York, with the latest arguments regarding whether Trump has violated the gag order handed down by the case's judge in attacking witnesses and officials. I would say almost certainly, but Ed, what's happening?
The New York Times reported this morning that a jail cell is being prepared for Trump. And this is serious business. They're probably going to do it in the building. But think of the appearance that would be, even if he spent a few hours in jail. Wow.
I've got to wonder in that situation, I think Trump himself would be torn on that situation. He never faces any sort of punishment for anything he does. But at the same time, it would certainly feed into his narrative of, I'm the martyr who is going to prison for you.
No, it wouldn't. And the reason it wouldn't is that he's flailing out. There's not anything you can say, I'm a martyr for you by having affairs, by speaking ill of women, by being ugly with people in and out of court. No, he's not speaking for the American people here. People don't like ugliness. They may like some of the things he's proposing, if you can figure out what they are. And I think much of this is nationalism and racism wrapped up. But you don't want to get too close to this stench. So a little time in jail would probably be a wipeout for him.
I would just expand on that to say, I would think a large portion of his base revel in ugliness, but it's certainly not winning him fans in the larger electorate.
No, I don't think it's winning fans in his own base because you don't want to be protecting a person who's getting very close to women hate and child pornography and dirt and smut. That's not the kind of person you want to be talking about at the dinner table, is it?
We're still waiting on the Supreme Court to rule on Trump's claims of total presidential immunity, although Trump obviously continues to make these statements that all presidents require blanket immunity from all possible crimes to succeed in the role. There could be dire consequences for Joe Biden if this ruling goes against him. But is there anything else at the moment in the litany of Trump legal matters?
I don't know. I don't know how the Supreme Court is going to decide on this one. I'm hoping they just read the Constitution as it's written. Nobody's above the law. Nobody.
And these cases are obviously taking Trump away from the election trail, or at the very least, the hush money trial is. Anything we should know about the latest in the campaign from either Republicans or Joe Biden?
Democratic money keeps going up. Biden is obviously campaigning. This campaign is getting stronger and stronger in places like North Carolina, Arizona. If he wins the normal states we anticipate, North Carolina and Arizona, the game's over. But it could be bigger than that. Let's hope so.
Back on the Supreme Court, the justices this week are also considering a challenge to rulings from a California-based appeals court that found punishing people for sleeping outdoors when shelter space is lacking amounts to cruel and unusual punishment. This follows a case where homeless residents of a small town in Oregon sued the city over new ordinances targeting camping in public spaces. Any thoughts on this legal crackdown and the kind of response we're seeing it?
Well, the legal crackdown, I understand. I think this is a large public outcry everywhere, including here, because you offer your hand and somebody spits on it. And that's what's happening. That the people who are camping out on public property are not being kind to the people who want to help them. So the public's desire to help the homeless is wearing thin. I think the court will probably find that using public property in ways that excludes others from the use will be prohibited. That will allow a certain soft enforcement, like sleeping on public property, sleeping under the swings and things that children use. And gradually, people are going to decide, and cities are deciding, like Los Angeles, we're offering you housing or we're showing you the door.
This is exactly it. I'm seeing, I mean, obviously, the US has already had a problem. They've always had a problem with homelessness that is quite shocking, I think, to a lot of people when they might first travel the States. I remember just prior to COVID, traveling and seeing some of these enormous homelessness camps, and I know that they have exploded in certain places post-COVID. There's a great deal of anecdotal evidence out there that these camps are just exploding all over the place. But how much are we seeing the effort to give them a place to go as opposed to litigating against them?
Well, I think we're seeing both, aren't we?
I
The
hope so.
litigation is kind of the strong arm. It's tough love. Here's a place to go. You refuse it, and we don't give you another choice. So I think cities are fed up. The public is fed up everywhere.
Ed and I will be back next week to discuss the latest goings on in the US and abroad. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a thing, and check us out on Facebook and Patreon at US of Ed.